Well, when they asked me to preach, I said I wasn't expecting that. Amen. And wonderful to be here today. I'm grateful that the Lord has sent us to Bible Baptist Church, and I appreciate our pastor, appreciate our church and all the members. If you have your Bible today, let's go to the book of 2 Kings, and we'll go down to chapter number 2. 2 Kings, chapter number 2, and those that remain standing will remain standing for the reverence of the reading of the scripture. Wouldn't that a wonderful message? All the messages have been great help to me personally. I've needed it, and I'm grateful and honored that the Lord has allowed us to be here over these last few years. I was talking with our missionaries the other day at the ministry, and I said, "You're going to be able to be at the Jubilee this week?" He said, "Oh, yes, wouldn't miss it." He said, "We go an entire year off of that week's meeting." And so we're grateful that the Lord has used us in such a tremendous way. Every message has been a great encouragement. Let's look in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. This is a very familiar text for those that have been saved any length of time and have studied or know your Bible. Notice in 2 Kings, chapter number 2, and verse number 1. "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah unto heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went both down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And as the sons of the prophets were at Jericho, and came to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they went both, went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and there were divided hither and thither. So they went went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said unto him, or Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle that Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. They came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you today, our hearts are lifted up because of what our ears have heard and the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, how much we've needed this meeting this week, and the preaching, the exaltation, the rebuke, the sternness from thy word. I pray, God, that you'll continue to work. Lord, I would ask, if there's one here that's not saved, may the Holy Spirit of God continue to work upon them, that they'll be saved before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Bless the reading of thy word. Give thy servant the power, the touch of God upon her life as we stand to preach. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on our text today, and I'd like to draw our attention to, again, a very familiar passage of Scripture. We'll take our text from verse number 8, where the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee," and here's our text for the day, "let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." I want to preach for just a moment today, and I'll be brief, on the subject matter of a double portion. If there's anything that we need in our generation, it is for preachers, for all of us, to have a double portion of the power of God upon our life. Elijah spent his last day on a journey which would include the schools of the prophets and a miraculous crossing of the Jordan River. Shortly after crossing the Jordan River, he was taken into heaven, the Bible declares, by a whirlwind. The area that he covered in that particular day was 30 to 35 miles, it is estimated, on the last day of Elijah's journey. The pathway was rich with spiritual significance as he traveled the places where God had led him in his ministry and in his administration. There's four listed in the Bible. He would go to Gilgal, then from there he would go to Bethel, and then to Jericho, and then into Jordan. If we look at these very briefly this afternoon, just to get a background of the places where God led him, first he went to Gilgal, and Gilgal was a place of beginnings. It was a passing by Gilgal where Israel had preceded the ark and had crossed the Jordan on dry ground, and when a rock of memorial had been set up for God's divine intervention could still be seen even in Elijah's day. It was there that the Israelites first encamped when they passed over into the promised land, according to the book of Joshua in chapter number 5. And God's going to take Elijah on a journey through the days and the places and the location where he was allowed to be able to prophesy and perform the ministry that God had called him into. From Gilgal, they went down to the town of Bethel, and it was a place of dreams. The Bible said it was there that Jacob met God, and that night he had a dream, and he saw the angels descending and ascending out of heaven. In fact, he said, this is the place of God, and he established a pillar there in Genesis in chapter number 28. From there, they went down to the city of Jericho. It was a place of victories. We know that it was a place where Israel had first military victory in entering into the promised land, and God gave great victory there in the city of Jericho. And we all know the story about Jericho. It was from Jericho that they would make their way down to the Jordan, and there was a place of death. Even today, we sing many of our songs of the olden days about crossing over Chile Jordan and going on the other side to be with the Lord. The river of Jordan, it represented the boundary for the promised land, and they had to cross over the river Jordan, or the place of death, to enter into the divine presence of God's blessings in the Holy Land. And it was there, it was a formidable barrier that had to be crossed over to be entered in. And it was at these four places that God would take the man of God, Elijah. You do remember in the scriptures that Elijah's life was characterized by submission to divine authority, that which God had put his hand upon Elijah to do. And there, passing by, he sees Elisha, the man of God, plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, which is a symbol of the wealth of the family that he came from. And he goes to follow, and throughout the time now, Elisha is with him. And we find that in the moments of the results of God leading him in his life and leading him back to these memorial places, memorable places in his life, that God's going to bring him to the crossing of the Jordan. And as he goes over to the other side, Elisha is tagging along with him. He is walking so close to him that if he stopped, I have no doubt that Elisha would bump into Elijah. For he said to him that if you see me on the other side and you bear with me, then you'll get your request of the double portion.
The Bible says in 1 Kings 17, 2, 3, and 5, that the word of the Lord came into him saying, get thee from here and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. And so he went and he did according to the word of the Lord. And then in chapter number 17, verse 8 and 10, he said the word of the Lord came into him saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath. So he went and arose unto Zarephath. And you'll find in the life and the record of the biblical history of the life of Elijah that every time God spoke in his life, Elijah was a man who would rise up and he'd follow the Lord and do the bidding of Almighty God. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings in chapter number 18 and verse number 1 and 2, it says, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, go show thyself unto Ahab. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. And then in verse number 36, he said, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. And so Elijah comes to the end of his life and he says to the Lord, Lord, I've done everything that you've commanded me to do. Much like the Apostle Paul in the New Testament when he said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. And he is saying, in essence, in his text, in his last dying testimony, if you wanted me at Ephesus, I'd be found at Ephesus preaching the word of God, establishing a church. If you wanted me in Thessalonica, I'd be found in Thessalonica preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ, establishing a church and a ministry. If you wanted me at Colossae, I'd be found at Colossae preaching a church, preaching and establishing a church. And Corinth, and so on and so forth. And so we find that on the last day of his journey, the Lord led him to Bethlehem. And the Lord sent him to Jericho, and the Lord sent him down to the river Jordan. And when it comes to the end, there's no better place to be than right in the center of God's eternal will. And the secret of Elijah's walk with God in his last day was the same as it was in his daily life: submission, full submission, and walking with God every moment, fulfilling every call that God had laid upon him. May we be encouraged by the example of Elijah's walk with God. I want to look at Elijah for just a moment, but I also want to focus on Elisha. I want to focus on Elisha, for it is Elisha that said, I want a double portion of thy spirit. Well, notice if you would please in the context of the scripture, in chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, we read a portion of it there a moment ago, and he asked in verse number 9, and it came to pass when they were going over that Elijah said unto Elisha, as what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Notice, if you would, Elisha's request. His request was by faith. By faith. Notice, if you would please, in the text and as you study in the life of Elisha, that Elijah had learned to trust in the presence of the power of God. And he knew that God was in absolute control of every situation. And Elisha, by following Elijah, he said, I want a double portion of thy spirit, a double portion of thy power, and I'll stay, I'll pay the price, and I'll do what needs to be done in order to have it. The spirit of his faith. Secondly, notice the spirit of his obedience. Elijah instantly and without question, even when the command of God was given to him, and though it did not make any sense to him, he was willing to obey. And I believe in order to have a double portion of God's spirit, we must ask and believe in faith. Yes. Believing that God is able. And then I believe there must be an obedience. I do not believe that God gives his Holy Spirit arbitrarily. And I know we're saved and the Holy Ghost of God moves in. But I believe the power of the Holy Spirit of God to stand and preach and do the work of the ministry is not given just arbitrarily to God's men. I believe God has in his divine order in the scripture, God God has an order in place and there must be requirements that are met. Maybe I put it just generally this way. God doesn't give his spirit arbitrarily to unclean vessels. Elisha has seen something in Elijah, the man of God, that caused him to thirst after the power of God that was upon his life. I thought about some of the great preachers of past. I've heard some of the great men of our generation stand and preach, and I still have a hunger, a thirst to know the power of God that rested upon these men and rest upon those of our generation. I still remember Faith Baptist Camp years ago as a young preacher boy, upwards of 46, 47, 48 years ago, going hearing the great men of God that preached in those meetings, and in the middle of their meetings and their preaching, sinners would get under conviction and walk down the aisle to be saved and put their faith and trust in Christ. And I want that power. I want God's hand upon my life. I want God's power upon me. Anyone can stand and say a few words of the Bible, but I want God's power upon it. I want the seasoning of the Holy Ghost of God upon my preaching. There's a spirit of obedience, and then there's a spirit of courage. His faith in God and his obedience combined, given the courage to stand for God when no one else would stand. And I believe if we want a double portion of God's spirit, we've got to ask in faith, believing that he's not just the God of our forefathers. He's not just the God of those that have gone before and paved the way for us to be here today. He's not just the God of the one who stood in the pulpit of yesteryears and reared back with their leather lungs and preached with the power of God. But he's also the same God today, the same Holy Ghost of God, and the same Holy Spirit of God. God forbid that I use myself as an example, but I relate to what Dr. Fleur mentioned a moment ago. Sometimes you stand and you preach and you wonder as you walk away, would God ever do anything with that? Yet God moves in a great and magnificent way, in a mighty way. You walk away knowing, and God sometimes, I believe, reminds us, it's not you, it's me. He wanted a double portion. And let me ask you this today. As Elijah wanted what Elijah had, God had raised up Elijah as a successor to the ministry of Elijah. I ask you this question today, men of God. Is our ministries worthy of a successor? Is our ministries worthy of a successor that someone would come along and say, I want a double portion of that man's spirit and that man's God that he serves? Notice, if you would, secondly and quickly, Elisha's steadfast resolve. In verse number 3 and verse number 5, we find the Bible says, knowest thou that the Lord will take away from thy master from thy head today? And this question literally is asking him, more or less, if I may summarize it, Elisha, you're going to continue to follow this old man of God? You're going to continue down the same path of the man of God, Elijah? The Lord's through with him. Don't you see that? Isn't it obvious to you? Wouldn't you be better off to stay with us, Elijah? And so we find that Elisha, that opposition didn't shake him. Elisha was submitted to the authority of God. He submitted himself to Elijah, and he said, I'm not moving, I'm not budging, I'll pay the price because I want a double portion. I I believe one of the things that's missing in our generation, as I travel across this nation and church after church and other churches overseas, and it's not just in America, but there is a missing of the Spirit and the power and the presence of Almighty God. We're preaching in a meeting, it's been some years ago, in the middle of the preaching down in the state of Alabama at our Alabama Blitz. We're preaching, on the subject matter of guilt, and the matter of the message about middle ways or so forth, preaching. And I was just giving an illustration and said, some of you have a mother, dad, a sibling, or a grandmother or a grandfather, and they're at home on their knees right now, knowing that this meeting is taking place, and they're begging and they're saying, come to Christ, come now to Christ. Yes. All of a sudden, a man to my right stood up and came to the altar weeping. After a little while, another man came, and another, and another, and another. And when it was all said and done that night, I don't remember exactly, but it was around 36, and he came forward in the middle of the message to bow their heart and their knees and their heart to God for salvation. And I would to God that I could preach like that every time. I would to God that every time I stood behind the desk of the pulpit, that God would move in such manner and fashions in my life. But I must confess to you, that's not the case. I remember some years ago preaching in the country of Ghana. We were at a girls' school, and given the invitation, there was 1,000 young ladies in that auditorium. There were teachers standing around. They had windows, and there was a walkway outside the windows, and they had the windows up, and they were leaning inside the windows to listen to the message. I gave the invitation, and there were so many that stood to their feet. And I thought, there's absolutely no way they understood what was preached. There's no way that many could stand to be saved. I asked him to be seated, and we recap and summarize the message. Brother Chamberlain was leading the team, and he stood and summarized it as well, gave the invitation, and more stood on the second time. And when they came forward to be saved that night, 462 came forward and bowed their heart and gave their life to Jesus Christ. Now would to God that every time I stood to preach behind God's pulpit, that God would give me such power to preach. But it's not always been the case. And I believe to have the power of God upon our lives, there must be a request. We must be willing to pray and plead and beg with God that he'd give us that power. Yes, sir. Then I believe we must be willing to be steadfast and resolved. Opposition had come, but it didn't shake Elisha. We find that they tried to talk him out of it. May I say to you, don't allow the crowd to shake you. Don't allow the crowd to just let you be normalized in your life and your ministry. Secondly, opportunities didn't shake him in his resolve. The Bible tells us that every time they went through a city, that even Elijah said to him, you want to stay and tarry here, Elijah? This wasn't an effort on his part to hinder Elijah's progress, but it was designed to test his resolve. We find that each place that is mentioned in the Bible, that while it was a special place in the heart of Elijah, it not only had spiritual significance in Elijah's life and ministry, but Elisha had heard the stories. Some of them he had seen what God had done in the life of Elijah. And he knew the significance of those places. Now I want to make a statement here, and I'm not throwing rocks at any man of God that sits under the sound of my voice. But preacher, you listen to me tonight. I've been preaching 48 years now. I've been a missionary for 40 years. The grass may look greener on the other side, But there's just as many dead places and holes and potholes as there is on the field that you serve in. And I know God moves. I'm not saying that he doesn't, but I'm just simply saying that God was allowing Elijah to test Elisha's resolve, and he had opportunities that came along. Every opportunity is not God's opportunity. Elijah was proving Elisha. The test was much like Naomi, who gave Ruth and Orpha the opportunity to go back and return to their homeland. And Ruth said, "Wherever thou goest, I'll go, and thy God shall be my God, and thy people shall be my people." But Orpha went home, and she fades from the pages of the Bible. Then we find also that his obstacles did not shake his resolve. We find that three times, as he's given offered the opportunity to stay in the various places, that he refused. He resolved to pay the price. Now I want to say something today. I found that the price is not just spiritual. The price can also be physical. The trip that they made, those around 30 to 35 miles, included land, mountains as high as 3,000 feet in altitude and as low as 1,000 feet below sea level. And yet we find that through it all, they made the journey. And I'm sad to say that unfortunately in our generation, many of us would not be able to stick with Elijah, the man of God. We don't have what it takes to endure hardness as a good soldier. Too often our pulpits are filled with an abundance of cream puffs, whimpering whine at the first sign of hardships. I recently preached a conference, and I'll not say where. It was off the mainland. When I was there, there was a man, and the preacher said, as soon as the conference is over, he's going to take half my people and go down the road, and he's going to start another ministry. He said, "Nah, I'm just going to let him go." Now I try to be as docile as I can, but there are two things you don't mess with in my life. You don't touch anyone in my family. Don't lay a hand on anyone. And secondly, don't you lay your hand on the ministry that God's given, put under my care. I'll stand to the last stand. And come to find out, the reason he was okay with it was because he was under financial burden and strain. And he was willing to let half of his church go to get out from under the financial strain and responsibility that God had laid upon him. Now you listen to me, my friend. I don't believe for one second that a man who is willing to sacrifice the sheep and let them go down the road will have the hand and the power and the Spirit of God upon him in that fashion.
That's right.
Elisha had some resolve. Most of us would never get past Gilgal with Elijah. He had the test of his labor, then the test of his loneliness. As we consider the journey, and I'll just summarize it to say this, and that is that if you're going to be involved in ministry, there's going to be some lonely times. God will allow us to go down paths and corridors of our life that even our best friend can't go down. Mrs. Ellis has been a dear wife and companion in the ministry, and I love her dearly. But there have been places in our 48 years of serving the Lord in the ministry, there have been places in the corridor of my heart that God has taken me down that even Mrs. Ellis couldn't walk down. A place of loneliness. And God tests us in our labor. And God will test us in our loneliness.
That's right.
Elisha's request Elijah was not able to give the request or have his request fulfilled until the Bible says in verse number 9, he said, I pray thee that a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. The word and the term double portion is also used in Deuteronomy 21 and 17 to describe the portion of the firstborn received from his father's estate.
That's right.
And specifically is associated with the inheritance of one who has taken over the leadership of the estate. So he's asking for Elijah that if he's going to be in his place as a prophet and he's going to have to fulfill the responsibilities and God has his hand upon him, he knows that he needs a double portion of Elijah's power. The work of the ministry isn't so much that we are naturally qualified for it. I don't think any of us are naturally born with the qualifications, and I'm not talking about divorce and the qualifications found in Timothy and Titus. I'm talking about the skills, the blessings of God that he gives us to lead our ministries.
Yes.
But I'll put it this way, who God calls, God qualifies, and God equips. Verse number 15 in our text, if you would please. Well, first, let's go back to verse number 10. Elijah's response was, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken away from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And the Bible says in verse number 12, they had crossed over the river Jordan. And now in verse number 12, God has showed up in verse number 11. He's taken him out in a whirlwind. And the Bible said that Elisha was so close that God had to come down and separate between the two of them. And the Bible tells us now in verse number 12 that Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. The Bible said he took hold in his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Now I want you to look with me just a couple things, and I'll be done. In verse number 13, he said he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Aren't you glad that he's following after the pattern of the ministry that Elijah, the man of God, had set before him? He didn't go a newfangled way. I believe he went right back to the very footprints where they had crossed over the river Jordan, because he wants a double portion of Elijah's power and Elijah's spirit, and he's going to be very careful that he doesn't deviate from the path that's been laid before him.
That's right.
I don't believe if he'd have been in a church in our generation, he'd have went to contemporary music. I don't believe he'd have changed his Bible. I don't believe he'd changed his message. I believe he'd have stood back with the hand of God and said, thus saith the Lord. Elisha's careful to follow in the footsteps of Elijah, and then he takes his mantle, the symbol of his position, and then his authority before God that fell from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. The Bible said, and he smote the waters and said, where's the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they prayed, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And I want to close with this simple thought. In verse number 15, you have the sons of the prophet, the school of the prophets. And the Bible said that they stood on the opposite side of Jordan. And the school of the prophets was not too far from Jordan. And they tried to get Elisha to stay. And Elisha says, no, I'm going with the man of God. They go over, and the mantle falls. God takes them up in a whirlwind.
Yeah.
Elisha takes the mantle of Elijah, walks back to the river Jordan, wraps it in his hand, and holds it before heaven, and cries out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Then by faith, He takes the mantle and strikes the River Jordan, and all of a sudden the waters part, and he goes over on dry ground, and the school of the prophets are standing at Jordan looking down at the river, and they said, look at Elisha. He's got the spirit and the power of Elijah upon him. When he crossed over the River Jordan, how did they know the Spirit and the power of God rest upon him? I'll not take time to go through all of it. But one thing the Bible said that Elisha took and rent his clothes, it was a sign of humility. Another one, they saw his faith when he took the mantle and smote the water. I just want to say this in closing. The school of the prophets, that 50 that stayed on this side, they were so far away and removed from the spirit and the power of God and the man of God, I don't believe they even got dust on their clothing. God said, Elisha, if you see me when I'm taken up, you can have your quest. I was teaching our staff, it's been a few years back, and I'm not going to go into all of it, but God began to work with me, and I just want to give a couple things, and I'm done. I said to the men, when a preacher takes a ministry, we walk very circumspectly. We don't know the people, we don't know the response, we don't know the resources. Very careful. But then after a man of God becomes established, he becomes comfortable. He knows the people, he knows the resources, and he knows to a great degree the possibility or the potential. But then, if he's not careful, he becomes complacent. Could I put it this way? He gets in a comfort zone. And once he digresses and gets into that place of comfort, he's right on the verge, on the precipice of the next, last, final step. And that's casualty. I was thinking about preaching on comfort zones today, but this passage of scripture when I was asked to preach was on my heart. May God help us, men of God, that we'll not become complacent in our ministry. May God help us that we'll not become a casualty. And I believe the only thing that's going to turn America back to God is men of God and Christians who have double portion of the spirit and the power of God. And I'm not talking about second blessings, you know that. I wonder today, is there someone in our midst that wouldn't just say, Lord, I want a double portion. A double portion. I remember hearing Dr. Seidler preach years ago. Dr. Crumpton, Ed McAbee, Sammy Allen, Ron Garris, on and on the list goes. And I remember saying, God, can I have some of that? Lord, can I have some of that? If we'll get hungry after God and thirsty after him today, he'll fill us and he'll quench our thirst. Fathers, we bow before you today.